So the title of my sermon this morning is Family Planning, all right? Family Planning. And the verse that I'm looking at here, it's not directly related, but I think it's a principle that I want to apply to family planning this morning. But look at verse 21 where the Bible read, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that they'll observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. And in this passage, we have a lot of instructions giving to a young pastor, Timothy, a young preacher, about how to handle himself and how to handle the church of God. And one of the commandments of Paul that he's trying to instill in him is the fact that you shouldn't do things partially. You don't follow God's commandments, just the ones that you like, and avoid the ones that you don't like. You actually need to just follow all of them. You need to do your best to follow every single commandment, whether you like it, whether you don't like it. And whenever you do things partially, you end up running into a lot of problems. You know, things don't really work out well when you just follow half the plan. I mean, how many of you this morning washed part of your body? You know, that's going to be kind of weird if you're partial in your cleaning of your body, right? It's going to be weird when you do things that are partial. You want to make sure that you do them wholly or complete. And when it comes to family planning, I feel like a lot of people, they pick and choose which aspects of how they want to do their family according to the Bible, but they don't really follow the whole plan, and they start running into lots of problems. Now, go if you would to Genesis chapter number one, as we turn here. And I'm going to look at a lot of Bible this morning, but also I'm going to bring in some articles and some other information that we can look to help assist us in understanding what the Bible teaches. But the Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, this is the very beginning, it says in verse 27, so God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them, and God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So in the beginning, God created, you know, Adam, he created Eve, and one of the most important commandments that he gives them is to be fruitful and to multiply. I mean, this is like the first thing that's coming right off the page. He's saying be fruitful and multiply, and God wants people to be fruitful and multiply. Now, what he's saying there is have lots of children. God wants people to have lots of children, and it's a clear commandment, and even says here to replenish the earth. Now, some people have gotten a weird doctrine over the word replenish here. They try to say, you know, they believe in like a gap theory, or they believe a lot of false doctrine. They think like, well, that must mean that the earth was full before Adam and Eve. But what I believe it's clearly saying here, because the word replenish means to fill again. Now, why would he tell Adam and Eve to fill again? Because the earth's never been inhabited. Adam's the first man. The Bible's crystal clear on this. So why would he tell him that? The reason why I believe he told him that is because you and I, we're going to read this verse. It's instructions for us. Meaning whenever the earth, you know, loses people or there's a place that's not inhabited, God's saying like, I want you to inhabit that again. You know, whenever the land of Jerusalem was destroyed and wiped out by the Babylonians, God wanted them to replenish that area. He wanted them to replenish Jerusalem. And any area of the earth that becomes desolate, God's saying, hey, I want you to replenish that portion of the earth. Barring like Sodom and Gomorrah, right? That one was just wiped off the face of the map. But we see the general commandment of God is he wants the earth to be inhabited. He didn't form it in vain. He wants everyone to constantly replenish the earth. He wants every generation to do the same thing, is be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. There's a lot of agendas today that are trying to depopulate the earth. They're trying to get rid of as many people around the earth, trying to kill off whole nations, whole cultures, whole subsects of people. That's a wicked agenda. It's of the devil. God wants this earth to be inhabited. And look, we could be 10 times bigger than we are now, and it's fine. God is not limited in his ability to provide resources for mankind. God wants us to have as many children and as many people as possible, and God willing, me and my wife are going to do that, all right? Now, go to Genesis 38. Genesis 38. The Bible says that the way of transgressors is hard. So what I want to make it clear is whenever you don't follow God's commandments, it's always harder, it's always more difficult, it's not the plan that you want to have for your life. That does not mean that doing the right thing or following God's commandments cannot have some level of difficulty, though. And the Bible teaches in Luke 14, I'll read for you, For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish it? So according to the Bible, whenever you're evaluating anything, you should count the cost, meaning you should anticipate, what is this going to cost me? What does this look like? And let me just say something, shells are not free, especially if a lot of them, okay? They eat a lot of food, they take up a lot of space. You know, pregnancy, depending on what happens, can be very expensive each time that happens. Look, kids are not free. You need to count the cost. So if I want to follow God's commandments to be fruitful and multiply, I have to realize there is going to be some kind of cost there. Not only is there going to be a cost financially, there's going to be a cost of my time. Not only is there going to be a cost of my time, there's going to be a cost of my energy. Not only is there going to be a cost of all that, there's going to be a cost of my sleep. If you like sleep, don't have lots of kids, all right? It doesn't work out well. So there's going to be a cost. But the thing is, when I evaluate the worth of my children, I'll pay anything. Hey, it was worth that cost. You know, I always say having children is one of the hardest things you'll ever do, but it's always worth it. But you know, you have to realize there is a cost there. And some people, they don't go into having children or getting married or doing anything or just serving God that there's some level of cost. There is a cost with it. There is going to be pain. There's going to be suffering. There's things that you have to sacrifice. But you know what? All those sacrifices are worth it every single time. Genesis chapter 38, though, some people don't want the sacrifice of children. Some people don't want to raise up children. They don't want to have them. And it comes in the form of what would be known as birth control. Now, birth control in the Bible, it's not really a topic that's directly mentioned multiple times or something. We pretty much have like one mention where it's kind of like directly about birth control. And we're going to read that story, but it's negative. And birth control is ungodly. It already violates the fact that God said to be fruitful and multiply. Why would God want you to limit that or to stop that? That's his clear commandment. And the only time we see anybody practicing any variation of birth control, let's see what God did to this guy. It says in Genesis 38, verse 6, and Judah took a wife for his firstborn. That's a bad name. Don't name your kid Er, you know. Whose name was Tamar. And Judah's firstborn, was wicked in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord slew him. And Judah said unto Onan, go in unto thy brother's wife and marry her and raise up seed to thy brother. And Onan knew that the seed should not be his. And it came to pass when he went in unto his brother's wife that he spilled it on the ground, lest that he should give seed to his brother. And the thing which he did displeased the Lord. Wherefore, he slew him also. So this is your one example of birth control. God just kills the guy. Now, you say, well, it was because of his motivation. It's not the motivation, my friend. The reason why people decide not to have children, it's always selfish. Yeah. Why did Onan not want to have this child? Well, it's not really mine. It's, you know, it's going to have my brother's name or whatever. Or they say, oh, I don't want to pay for college. Or I don't want to have to take off from work. Or I don't want to be limited in the things I can do. Or I don't want to stop having all the fun in my life. So they decide not to have a child. I want to go to college, and I want to do all these things. I want to have fun. I want to travel in Europe and stuff. That's the reason why people don't have kids.
Yeah.
I don't want to just stay home on Friday night. I want to go out and, you know, party and dance and get another bastard kid while I'm out there. But it's always selfish. And the reason that Onan had, it might not be your exact reason to forego having children, but you know what? It's always selfish. There's no good reason to not have children. The only reason people decide not to have children is because they're selfish and they only care about themselves. Look, having kids is being selfless. Loving another person, raising another person. The things that parents do for children, it's a lot. You don't really ever understand it until you go through it. And then you're like, wow, my parents did a lot for me. They did so many different things. They loved me. Now, birth control has always existed, okay? I don't want to teach that it hasn't because we see it right here in Genesis. I mean, it's just, hey, there's always been birth control. But the ways that people would enact birth control have changed throughout the day, you know, throughout time. And there's today many devices and many ways in which people practice birth control that have not existed for very long. The modern birth control movement is really not that old. I'm going to give you some article information here before we go to the next place in our Bible. But if you want to just get a head start, go to Romans 1. But modern birth control is not something that's always existed. It's pretty much the 19th and 20th century. It's from the Malthusian League, based on the ideas of Thomas Malthus, was established in 1877 in the United Kingdom to educate the public about the importance of family planning and to advocate for getting rid of penalties for promoting birth control. So in 1877, in Europe, specifically the United Kingdom, they had legislation against even educating somebody about birth control. Not just birth control. You're not even allowed to educate people on birth control. You're not allowed to teach them or train them or try to tell them about it because they esteemed it as wicked, criminal. Criminal. And look, when your morality is less than the government, you have problems, all right? So whenever the government has a higher moral standard than you do, you have problems. You need to go back to the Bible and see what God's standard is, and you'll realize the government never has higher morals than God, okay? They were just somewhat in line with and saying, look, you shouldn't be teaching this garbage advice. It says in this article, it was founded during the Knowlton trial of Annie Besant and Charles Bradlaugh, who were prosecuted for publishing on various methods of birth control. In the United States, specifically, Margaret Sanger and Otto Bobson popularized the phrase birth control in 1914. So your modern-day birth control comes from a woman named Margaret Sanger. For sake of time, I'm not going to go in much detail about who she is, but she got involved with the Ku Klux Klan. I mean, this woman hated minorities. She hated black babies. She wanted to murder as many children as possible. She said, you don't want to murder. Yeah, taking a baby out of the womb and killing it is murder. Period. Or if you just shove an instrument in the womb and kill the baby, that's still murder. I'm not going to spend time explaining that to somebody. If you don't think that's murder, you need to read the Bible. It says in this article, at the time under the Comstock Law, distribution of birth control information was illegal. She jumped bail in 1914 after arrest for distributing birth control information and left the United States for the United Kingdom. Now, it's interesting to me when I read stories like this, how the wicked, they're willing to be thrown into jail for their wicked ideas and beliefs. How come God's people aren't willing to take a stand on what the Bible says and say, you know what, even if I was arrested, I'll stand on the Bible today? Isn't it interesting that the fags and the lesbians for decades have been thrown in jail, violating God's word, doing all kinds of wicked things, and look, now they're winning. Now it's like it's fun and it's celebrated. Look, we as God's people ought to take a stand for the truth no matter what the consequence is when the wicked can do it. 1936, the U.S. court ruled in U.S. versus one package. That's kind of a weird lawsuit. The government against a package. It says the medically prescribing contraceptive to save a person's life or well-being was not illegal under Comstock law. Following this decision, the American Medical Association Committee on Contraception revoked its 1936 statement condemning birth control. So essentially, there was laws passed by the U.S. By 1930. This has already been passed. But at this point, this law was being challenged. And the law was saying any information about birth control, any birth control devices, is illegal, it's criminal, it's not allowed in America. That sounds like a lot better place to live. Sorry, America used to be a lot different back then. And he's saying, hey, well, they tried to get a loophole and say, well, what if this information could save someone's life? Lies. It's just nonsense that they try to twist it. Obviously, do you think most people taking birth control are doing it to save their life? It's ridiculous, the arguments they try to bring this junk under. Well, they decided that the law was, you know, not valid, so they revoke this law. And in 1937, I don't know who they surveyed, but it says 71% of the adult population supported the use of contraception. And it says by 1938, I was like first thinking they probably lied about that statistic. But then in 1938, 1 year later, 347 birth control clinics were running in the United States. That's a lot after the year. Like, hey, we passed a law, it's all of a sudden good. 347 clinics are running a year later. It's like, whoa. Apparently the United States public was ready to accept this type of information. You say, how are they ready to accept this type of information? Because nobody was preaching the Bible to them. Nobody is showing what the Bible says. So whenever they pass the law, they're still like, well, that's garbage, that's junk. I don't care if the United States legalizes it. We're not going to participate in such filth, nonsense, and wickedness. Now, I'm reading a little bit more of this article. We're getting the history of modern birth control. It says, Lady Eleanor Roosevelt publicly supported birth control and family planning. In 1966, President Lyndon B. Johnson started endorsing public funding for family planning services. So now we're getting support from the presidents and their wives. It says, The federal government began subsidizing birth control services for low-income families in 1966. The 60s, man, that's a sermon, the 1960s. I've worked on that sermon quite a few times, and I was like, there's too much information. There's just, I don't even know where to start. It's just ridiculous, the things that happened in the 60s. It says the Affordable Care Act passed into law on March 23rd, 2010, under President Barack Obama, requires all plans in health insurance marketplace to cover contraceptive methods. These include barrier methods, hormonal methods, implanted devices, emergency contraceptives, and sterilization procedures. So basically, this is kind of the evolution of modern day birth control. It comes a little bit from Europe, which they import lots of wickedness. Then Margaret Sanger takes it and runs wild with it, and it becomes popularized in, you know, the 60s. A lot of people are doing this. And now we're here today. What do we have today? Well, there's all kinds of methods. I don't want to explain all these devices, but I'll give you a brief overview. There's things called the IUD. There's the birth control shot. There's the pill. There's devices. There's implants. And there's even barriers. Now, I don't want to go. It's disgusting. It's perverted. And I have a verse for you on this, okay? Romans chapter number 1. It says in verse number 30, talking about reprobates. Where do these things come from? Well, they come from reprobates, a lot of these things. But it says in verse 30, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters. Notice this, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Now you say, hey, what do these really wicked people do? They invent stuff, wicked things, evil things, things to murder children, to murder babies. That's what they invent. They invent new ways to sin worse. That's why Sodom and Gomorrah, God said they were sinners exceedingly. You say, what's exceeding? It's going beyond sin. Because look, everybody's a sinner. Everybody sins. Everybody's tempted with all kinds of sin. But there's a person that can go beyond just your average natural sin. That's a wicked sinner. That's an exceeding sinner. That's what the Bible calls workers of iniquity. These are different types of people. They invent things to do more wickedness. Their purpose and goal in life is to harm and to hurt people. They hate God. They're full of murder, is what the Bible says. They're full of fornication. Oh, I wonder when you combine murder and fornication with all unrighteousness. They're an inventor of evil things. I wonder where this stuff comes from. Oh, yeah, Margaret Sanger, a God hater. Now, let me tell you about these devices. Because what they want to focus on is the fact that they stop contraception. Now, what is contraception? It's basically when a baby is conceived, okay? Now, technically, if you stopped contraception, I would agree that you didn't murder anything, okay? There's no murder that's taken place. There's no life that's been taking place. But you would fall under the sin of Onan if you're trying to prevent contraception. We already saw here with Onan and his sin, trying to stop contraception, trying to do something in order to stop a child from being produced. That's a sin. But then there's even worse sin with these devices. Not only will they stop contraception, they will also be abortifacient and their mechanisms. So they have multiple mechanisms. Some of their mechanisms, they try to stop conception. Other mechanisms try to kill whatever was conceived. Now, if you look up their information, today, most of these companies, they do not believe that when an egg is fertilized and travels down the fallopian tube, that that was conception. They say once it gets implanted into the uterine wall, that's when it's conception. You know when I believe it's conception? As soon as it gets fertilized. Yeah, right. Immediately. Why? Well, let's go to the Bible. Go to Matthew chapter number 1. Matthew chapter number 1. But it's undeniable that these devices murder babies. Now, some people think that a baby is only when it comes out of the womb. It is a baby when it comes out of the womb. But you know what? It was a baby 5 minutes before that when it was in the womb too. And then you know what? It was a baby 2 months before that when it was in the womb. And then it was a baby 3 months before that when it was in the womb. And in the first trimester, it was a baby. It was a child. And then at the moment that it was fertilized, it was a baby. It was a child. Let's prove this from the Bible. All right. Matthew chapter number 1. What does the Bible say? Verse 23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. You say, well, when was that though? When was it a child? Well, let's look up this quote in the Bible. Keep your finger here, but go to Isaiah 7. Isaiah chapter 7. The Bible will tell us when something is a child. Because the government and these pharmaceutical companies, they have an agenda of making money. And so whatever lies they can spread, if they can call it an embryo to disguise the fact that it's a child, if they can call it whatever they want to make up so that it's not a child, they'll say that so that you'll pay them money and buy their wicked devices. But the Bible tells us when something is a child. It says in Isaiah 7, verse 14, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel." So in Isaiah 7, it says that she conceived. And then when it quotes it in the New Testament, it says she's with child. As soon as you conceive, you're with child. That's what the Bible teaches. And I'm never going to change my mind on that. I don't care if it's one day old, it's murder when you kill it. It's wicked. And these modern birth control devices, their third backup mechanism is an abortifacient mechanism. What does it do? It hardens the lining of the uterus. It destroys the mucus. I have this article. This is what it describes it. It says, examinations show that the abortifacient birth control pill transforms the endometrium from a welcoming, lush forest into a barren, sterile desert. Well, that's going to be hard to survive in. That's going to be something. What's the goal? If I'm trying to make it where something's going to not live, that sounds like killing it. I mean, it's not that hard in rocket science. I'm literally murdering it. I'm literally killing it. I'm trying to destroy it. It says, in a cycle where ovulation was not prevented and fertilization takes place, the pill causes a silent abortion. Now, a woman that, has a fertilized egg, she may not know. Most women, honestly, sometimes they can go a month or two without even feeling anything. I'm not saying every case. Sometimes you feel things very early on, sometimes not very early on. But virtually no, I've seen somebody on Facebook claiming they knew the second they got pregnant. I was like, you're a liar. I think that's silly. So a lot of times these women that are on these devices, they're actually having silent abortions. Often they don't even realize it. Because obviously a fertilized egg is tiny. I mean, it's microscopic. It's something that the human eye can't even see as well or understand all the complications of what's going on there. But you know what? I believe it's a life right at that moment. That's what God does. He forms you in the womb. Now, let me give you more information about this. Because the high-dose pills, they were trying to, stop contraception. And for the most of the part, it worked. It would stop your contraception, so they weren't actually killing babies. But it was still hardened the lining of the uterus. But because there's such a high dosage of progestin and other drugs, women were having horrible side effects. They were just feeling horrible and having all kinds of cramping and all kinds of issues. So they had to try and lower those levels, those dosages of drugs that they're pumping into these women's body. But the problem is, as they've lowered those drug volumes, they do less contraception blocking and more just silent abortions. So in fact, most birth control pills and stuff, they're less concerned about the contraception part and more concerned with the abortifacient part. It says the low-dose pills work in essentially the same manner as the high-dose pill. However, a much higher percentage of ovulation occurs in women who use the low-dose pills due to their low estrogen dose. This means that women who use these pills frequently conceive. In order to prevent pregnancies, in these cases, the low-dose pills also prevent implantation, thereby acting as a backup abortifacient. Several studies have shown that women on the low-dose birth control pills experience an early silent abortion during 5 to 13% of their cycles. So it says a woman that's on the pill of these low-dose pills. And look, they got rid of all the high-dose pills like a couple decades ago. So pretty much nobody's on them. Everybody's on these low-dose pills. It's saying 5 to 13% of your cycles, you're having a silent abortion. Yeah. So every month, you're just rolling the dice of killing your baby. Just 13% chance. Just 13% chance. Just another 13% chance. That's a horrible thing to constantly do. I mean, some women are on the pill for decades. Now, I just thought about it for a year. It says 5 to 13%. If you were on this for 1 year at a 5% rate, that means there was a 46% chance that year you had a silent abortion. If it was the 13% rate, that would mean there was an 81% chance that you had a silent abortion that year. In just a 6-month period, talking about the 13% chance, if you were rolling the dice that many times, there's a 57% chance in that 6 month period you had a silent abortion. Not only that, there's a 32% chance you had two in 1 year. You want to just keep rolling the dice with children's lives? Just murdering children? Just seeing how God feels about that? Oh, I wonder if God likes it when you just keep rolling the dice on murdering babies over and over and over. But we know that these devices come from who? From wicked, evil, reprobate, God-hating people. That's the type of people that design and develop these devices under the guise of the devil. Now, I would hope that if you believe, like, I'm not reading just like the Bible here. I'm just reading what the world says. The world will all agree with the things that I said. I'm not saying anything controversial. This is just known information. Now, they don't highlight this in the public education system. Why? Because they don't want people to feel guilty about killing babies. You know what? Hopefully, if God's people realize this, thou shalt not kill is actually one of the Ten Commandments, maybe you should stop killing your own children. So if you think, well, okay, I agree with you, Pastor Shelley, we shouldn't be killing our babies, all right? So we should be fruitful and multiply, we shouldn't be practicing the no-end method, and I don't want to murder my babies. Then what do I do, okay? Well, the Catholic Church, they actually believe all those first three. The Catholic Church thinks that you should be fruitful and multiply. The Catholic Church doesn't think you should practice the no-end method. The Catholic Church also is against birth control, majority, you know, from history perspective. I don't know about now. They changed like the wind, so obviously if yesterday the Pope said birth control is great, I don't know. But for long periods of time, the Catholic Church did. So what did they practice? They practice what's known as the rhythm method. Now, the rhythm method is basically where they chart out their cycles, and they try to figure out when it's okay, when it's not okay. And we'll get there. But that's also another form of birth control that is ungodly, it's unbiblical. But why are people doing this? Now, I want to give you, before I get to this rhythm method and talk about it, I do want to talk about one other thing. Because if you're not using one of these modern forms of birth control, you're trying to have as many kids as possible, you're not practicing the Onan method, sometimes women will get pregnant very often, even what I would consider too often. Now, how do you say too often? Well, there's a thing called Irish twins. Now, I don't know if you know what Irish twins are, but Irish twins means you have two kids in the same calendar year. So you didn't even go a full 12 months from birth to next birth. That's Irish twins. Now, why do they call them Irish twins? Because in America, there was a lot of Irish Catholics that came over, and because they're against birth control, and because they think it's sinful, and they're trying to be fruitful and multiply, they would just have kid after kid after kid after kid within the same calendar year. They would have 13 kids in 12 years. It was like, what's going on? Now look, this is extremely unhealthy. And many Irish Catholic mothers died at a very young age because they're putting their body through all kinds of crazy trauma trying to have 13 kids in 12 years, okay? I don't want to go that route. I think everybody here probably agrees with me on the first three points. Hey, we should be fruitful and multiply. Hey, I don't want to practice Onan, and I don't want to murder my babies. Well, I don't want us to turn out like the Catholic Church and have a bunch of Irish twins either. That's not good either. Why? It's unhealthy. And God did not design that. God doesn't want people to do that. Now, I'll read you a couple articles just to give you some information here, okay? This first article says, for most women, it's best to wait at least 18 months between giving birth and getting pregnant again. Too little time between pregnancies increase your risk of premature birth before 37 weeks of pregnancy. Premature babies are more likely to have health problems than babies born on time. Your body needs time to fully recover from your last pregnancy before it's ready for your next pregnancy. Now, I'm not saying that I 100% agree with that advice as far as the fact that you have to wait 18 months in between, but this is just doctor recommendations. I'm just trying to give you their side. They're saying you should try to wait at least 18 months because your body needs to recuperate. And not just physically, hormonally, and a lot of other ways that the body needs to recuperate before having the next child. There's another article I looked up. It says, if you think this is a conversation just about all about people trying to control your body, you're wrong. There is good evidence that women who have babies close together have riskier pregnancies the second time. This is because their body has not yet fully healed from giving birth. Even when you are at the point of feeling physically healed, there is still a matter of hormones and nutrients that your body is still recovering. If you have a pregnancy within 6 months of giving birth, you also increase the risk of your pregnancy having complications. This includes preterm birth, premature water breaking, your baby being small for gestational age, and increase in congenital abnormalities, which means birth defects. This article says that if you get pregnant within a 6 month period right after having your baby, you are at an increased risk of having a baby with birth defects. Now, I don't want that for people. I don't want people to be going through these type of things. I don't want them to have these problems. And if you keep reading this article, it says, while the outcomes are slightly better if you wait between 6 months and 18 months, the pregnancies that do the best are those where the mother has at least 18 months since she has last gave birth. So this other article, completely separate, they come to the same conclusion, saying that 18 months is technically the most healthy. But 6 months to 18 months, obviously, things will still be fine. And it's not like super unhealthy, but being within that 6 month range, it's extremely unhealthy. Most medical professionals will say you don't need to do that. So that's why they put women on birth control immediately after giving birth. Most women, if you go to the hospital, if you go see your gynecologist, which I don't recommend at all, but if you go to these type of people, they will say get on birth control immediately after having birth. Why? Because they don't want you to get pregnant in that 6 month window because it can be very hazardous to your body. Now, do you think God would just want people to just do things that are extremely unhealthy? You think God is like, be fruitful, multiply, I can't wait to make you have the most unhealthy lifestyle and hurt yourself and damage yourself? Of course not. He's provided a safety net for those first 6 months that's virtually fail-proof. But, you know, the Catholics, in order to not get pregnant, what did they do? They did the rhythm method. Now, go to 1 Corinthians 7, 1 Corinthians chapter 7. I promise I'll get to a lot more Bible here in a second. I'm just kind of setting the tone. But in order for them to try and not get pregnant in this range, because they know it's unhealthy, they don't want to do it, but in order to not have birth control, they practice what's known as the rhythm method, where they abstain from marital relationships, husband and wife. But the Bible says that's a sin. The Bible says that's ungodly, that's not good, and I don't want that for my church. I don't want everybody unhappy and have horrible marriages. And look, the Catholics have horrible marriages. And, you know, men that are not being, you know, satisfied by their wives at home are going to be tempted to do other things. I wonder, oh, let's mix Catholicism and not having a good marriage. That sounds like a recipe of all kinds of adultery and all kinds of wickedness. I wonder why they just are rampant in that. Well, they don't do anything according to the Bible. Look, we can't be partial in God's commandments. We need to have a full circle of all God's commandments. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 3, it says, let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband, and likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. Defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. Now the Bible, I'm not going to go for a sake of time, in Deuteronomy it talks about the recovery period. When a woman has a man child, she's supposed to recover for several days, and after she has a woman child, it's like double the amount of time. And they need that time to recover, and hey, that's a time where you can both consent and abstain. But you know, afterwards, you need to come together, and you need to not let the devil tempt you for your incontinency. Now what's incontinency? Lack of self-control. Lack of self-control. Look, I can't abstain from eating food for the rest of my life. I'm going to break down and eat food. There's certain things that men and women need, and there's certain things that need to be fulfilled. That was the point of marriage. Yeah. I didn't get married just for the roommate aspect, okay? I actually desire my wife. I like my wife. I'm a normal man, just like every other normal man in this room. They desire a wife. And that's part of marriage. That's the duty of marriage. The duty of marriage is, hey, food, clothing, and that duty. And we ought not take that out of the equation. We ought not stop that. We ought not decide not to do it. Look, we ought to fulfill what God has called us to do. Now go to Hosea chapter number 1. Hosea chapter 1. I'm going to give you the solution, okay? So we want to do all of these so far. We don't want to just pick the ones out of this that we like. You say, well, I like that one. I didn't like any of the other ones, but I like that one. No, you need all of them, okay? We need to be fruitful and multiply. We ought not be Onan. We ought not murder our children. And as husbands and wives, we need to come together. We need to not just have all these times of abstaining just so as we don't get pregnant. So what's the next one we need to do? Well, Hosea chapter 1, verse 8 says, "Now when she had weaned Lo-Ruhamah, she conceived and bare a son." Now the Bible is actually giving us a hint, giving us an indication of something that God has designed. And let me help you out. It's called breastfeeding. Breastfeeding will actually help you not get pregnant. It's wonderful. Breastfeeding is a great thing. It's a blessing from God. He has designed it on purpose so that you cannot get pregnant in the first 6 months. You say, what are you, 6 months? Why do you keep bringing that up? Well, look, that's how God designed it. Now, I looked at the United States Department of Health and Human Services, not a Baptist website. I don't know if you needed to know that, all right? They have something that's called lactational amenorrhea method. It's called LAM. What is this? It's also listed as birth control on their website. Now, what is this? It says out of 100 women who use LAM during the first 6 months following childbirth, 1 to 2 of them may become pregnant. It's essentially 98 to 99% effective, which is the same rate they give for all the modern birth control methods. And you know what that 1 to 2% error rate is always in consideration of? Human error. It's humans not doing it correctly. Because if you do it correctly, it always works. All right? It's 100% effective when done correctly. It's 98 to 99% done effectively when humans are just doing it. It says LAM only works, though, if you exclusively nurse your baby on demand whenever your baby wants to nurse on your breast. You should not rely on LAM as a birth control method once solid foods are introduced to your baby. So it says, just from scientific study and research and information, the world has realized that this method only works if you're doing it on demand, whenever the baby wants, and you're not even feeding it any other foods. It's just exclusive breastfeeding. Whenever the baby wants it, he gets it. If you do this for the first 6 months, you virtually can't get pregnant. Now, that sounds pretty good since we already saw some other articles saying that it's very unhealthy for women to be pregnant like that. And you know, the Mormon church teaches that women are eternally pregnant. I don't think women want to be pregnant every second of their lives, all right? I only have one wife, and I've talked to her before. I don't think she's interested in just going from pregnancy to pregnancy to pregnancy to pregnancy. She kind of likes the time in between. She likes a little bit of a break. She likes to kind of recuperate and to feel normal again and have her hormones not just be like firing everywhere and just be like, ah! Look, pregnancy can be kind of crazy every once in a while, all right, men? Maybe you've already experienced that, okay? Now, LAM, I'm just going to read a little more information. It says a form of natural birth control that relies on the new mother feeding her baby only breast milk for up to 6 months and having no periods or spotting during that time. LAM is a temporary form of birth control when used correctly. LAM requires exclusive, only frequent breastfeeding, at least 4 hours during the day and at least 6 hours during the night of an infant less than 6 months old. Now, I believe that if you're just feeding your baby when he wants, you don't have to like watch the clock. You don't have to just, you know, make sure and chart and do all these things. Look, if you're just feeding the baby when he wants to, it's going to work. It's what God designed. God's not a fool. Everything God created is perfect and wonderful and a blessing. Go into Genesis. Go back to Genesis. Let's get some Bible again. Genesis 49. You say, how does it work? Well, whenever a woman is breastfeeding, it releases hormones in her body. And it tells her body not to ovulate, making it impossible for her to get pregnant. But if she's not breastfeeding, those hormones will not be released, and she will just continually drop eggs. Just continually drop eggs. And look, some women have gotten pregnant 1 month after childbirth. It happens. You say, how do you prevent that? Breastfeeding! It's what God designed. And look, for virtually all of human history, there wasn't just formula on the shelf. You couldn't just go on Amazon Prime and just order all this formula. Your options were to breastfeed or someone else to breastfeed. That was your options. They had wet nurses. That was basically the only thing that could possibly even be another option. But God designed it for a woman to be able to breastfeed. Eve didn't rely on anything but herself. For Cain and for Abel and for all of them. Now, advantages of LAM. LAM can be used immediately after childbirth. Great. It's economical. It's free. You just got to feed mama. Well, that's not that free, okay? Especially when she's, you know, breastfeeding, she gets a little bit more ravenous. But that's, you know, she deserves that. She deserves to get to eat a little extra, you know. And it's entirely natural. You know what's the best meal for your baby? Breast milk. There's been multiple studies on that, too. It improves IQ. It improves health. It improves the fattiness. It's across the board great. Let me tell you about another secret. The diapers, all right? I've changed diapers from formula, and I've changed diapers from breastfeeding. Let me tell you, breastfeeding, it's leaps and bounds better. It's not even close. The formula diapers are horrible. They smell like death. And I mean, these things are like so toxic. Look, the breastfeed ones, it's just a bunch of mustard seeds, you know? It's just this weird mustard paste. You're like, what is that, you know? The babies are just so much healthier and happier. And look, I hate cleaning bottles, all right? Let me just give you my preferences, all right? Cleaning formula bottles, it's the most disgusting thing. They smell like death. I'm always burning. I'm like trying to get the water as hot as possible to get the toxic stuff off of it, and it's just burning my fingers. Look, it's not fun. It's not convenient. Me and my wife both hate it. There's no positive. The breastfeeding is great. My wife loves it. And let me tell you this. Let me give you a testimonial. Our first child, we did not breastfeed. And my wife didn't really consider the idea. She didn't really like the idea of breastfeeding. She thought maybe there was something wrong with it. Or she was kind of avoiding it a little bit. But now, she's like, it's so much better. I love it. It's great. Whatever fears you have of it, she's like, it's far superior. She loves it. She enjoys it. She loves the time that she had with her babies. Don't let the world lie to you and try to tell you that it's bad or wicked or evil. No, it's a blessing of God. Look at Genesis 49. Genesis chapter 49, verse 25. Even by the God of thy father, who shall help thee, and by the Almighty, who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lieth under, blessings of the breasts and of the womb. The Bible says it's a blessing. Breastfeeding is a blessing. Blessings of the womb, the blessings of the breast. Look, it's a curse when people have dry breasts. The Bible actually uses that as a curse. It's negative. It's not good. What's a blessing? To have the breast be, you know, functioning properly, doing their job. It's a blessing. It's a good thing. And I just wanted to give you a little more information about lamb. It definitely works really well for the first 6 months. But it also works longer, potentially. It's not every case. It's very subjective. You know, I don't think they know why. But from the 6 to 12-month range, some people have their cycle return. So they did a study. 7% of the time, women have their cycle come back in the first 6 months. That means they didn't do it right. Now, 6 to 12 months just means that's just what happens naturally for them. About 37% of the time, that's when it comes back. From 12 months to 24 months, when practicing lamb correctly, 48% of women have their cycle come back. But over 24 months, still 8% of women can go an entire 24 months after birth without even having their cycle return. And look, if you talk to women, that would sound good. Do you want to go on a 24-month break? Yeah. I mean, they'd press that button. That sounds great. That's wonderful. But you're only going to get there with this lamb method. Now, go if you went to Isaiah 28. I'm going to read a couple more places. The Bible emphasizes breastfeeding over and over and over, and it's a blessing. You say, well, I'm a dude, and I'm not going to breastfeed. Well, don't be against it then, first of all, and encourage your wife to breastfeed if you ever have one, and encourage your family to breastfeed, and stand on the Word of God and realize it's a blessing. But the Bible says in Psalms 22, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ himself, but thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breasts. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Jesus Christ was breastfed. If it's good enough for my Lord and Savior, it's good enough for my baby. And look, I don't want the cheap substitutes. They're expensive. They stink. I hate them. I don't want anything to do with them. If worst to worst happens and there was no other option, I would use it. You know what? It's not even close to number 1, 2, 3, 4 on my option list, all right? If you have to use it for whatever reason, okay. I'm not saying it's a sin to use it, but you know what? if you have the option of breastfeeding, I do believe it's a sin to forego breastfeeding just to have the convenience of the formula. Why would you do damage to your own child, give them something less, give them something that's not better? And look, it causes all kinds of intestinal problems. They have all kinds of burping. A lot of times they have a lot of colic. They have worse colic because of it. You can never convince me that it's a good option. Except in emergency cases, or you just, like, I'm not trying to say, like, starve your child, okay? Some people go on a vegan-only diet or something weird, and they, like, they kill their baby because they're doing weird stuff. But at the end of the day, you ought to try your best to do the breastfeeding. Now, Song of Songs says in 8:1, "Oh, that thou wert as my brother, that sucked the breast of my mother. When I should find thee without, I would kiss thee. Yea, I should not be despised." Isaiah 28, verse 9 says, "Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to the people." He's saying this is like a basic building block of us. We have to start somewhere. We start with the breast milk. It's encouraged in the Bible. It's constantly mentioned. Go to Lamentations chapter 4. Go to Lamentations chapter 4. Why are you having us turn to all these places? Well, did you see the bulletin? It's a lot of ladies are getting pregnant. And praise God. You know what? Children are always a blessing. It's never a bad time to have a child. Okay? I don't want you to hear me wrong. Look, all children are a blessing. They're always a gift from God. But at the end of the day, we ought to encourage breastfeeding so that they're properly spaced, so that women can be healthy, so that women can have a normal life, that they don't have to just constantly be pregnant 99% of their life. That sounds rough. I don't have to be pregnant for even 1% of my life, and I think it's great already. So, you know, we want to make sure women are doing things that are healthy and natural. And you as a mother, you need to do what this Bible verse is going to tell you, all right? Lamentations chapter 4, look at verse 3. "Even the sea monsters draw out the breast. They give suck to their young ones. The daughter of my people has become cruel like the ostriches in the wilderness. The tongue of the sucking child cleaveth to the roof of his mouth for thirst. The young children ask bread, and no man breaketh it unto them." The Bible likens a woman not feeding her child unto something that is cruel. It is cruel not to be able to feed your child. And in fact, there is state laws that make it clear that a mother is allowed to feed her child whenever and wherever she's at for any reason. Because it would be cruel to say, no, this baby needs this. They can't eat right now. We need to go somewhere else. We need to go hide in a closet or, you know, wear a blanket or something or, you know. And look, the sea monster draws out the breast, doesn't she? And look, let me make it clear. I do not believe that women should just go around showing their bodies off or doing whatever. But at this church, we don't have a policy that says you can't uncover breastfeed. Because I'm not going to be like someone that's cruel and saying, hey, you can't draw out the breast to feed your child. Why would I want to do that? And you know, some people think, well, you're being so immodest. I'm going to be way more modest. You know what modest means? Not drawing attention. Yeah. Like, you really think that It's like, we're being so much more modest over here. Look, half the time, I can't tell my wife's holding my child or feeding it. And she doesn't have to wear a blanket over. And look, why don't you at lunch today take your coat and just wear it over your head for the whole meal? See how quickly you eat. You say, why are you saying that? Well, here's the thing. When you use a cover, you're more obvious. You stand out more. Also, it's less normal. It's kind of weird when you have to pitch a tent over in your section to just hide. Now, look, I don't want to shame people that just feel like they want to do it, okay? That's not my goal here. I'm not trying to shame people and saying that if you use a cover, you're bad or it's sinful. But what I am wanting you to understand is that I do believe it's my personal preference that you should not, okay? I'm not going to say it's a sin. I'm not going to say it's negative. But I have a lot of reasons why I think you shouldn't, okay? First of all, it's more obvious. It's less normal. Number three, the fore milk versus the hind milk. And you say, what is that? Well, a woman, whenever she's breastfeeding at the initial onset, she only delivers fore milk unto her baby. It sometimes will take anywhere from 5-10 minutes in order to deliver that hind milk. But here's the thing, when a baby is getting super hot and uncomfortable and has a blanket over its face, it stops wanting to eat, it gets less interested, it gets irritated, and so it doesn't eat as long and oftentimes will not receive the hind milk. Now, I'm not saying that's definitive, I'm just saying I've observed it, I understand it, and why you want the hind milk is if you're not getting it, your stool will change. It will actually literally change colors when you're not getting hind milk as a breastfed baby. Not only that, it's not satisfied for as long. If you do not get the hind milk to your baby, you'll have to feed way more often. I don't think women want to do that. Sometimes they complain, it's like, I have to feed like every second. Well, are you wrapping it in a blanket while you're trying to feed it? I mean, if you just get one good long feed, sometimes you can go 4 hours between the next feed. You don't have to constantly feed every 30 seconds, you know, every 30 minutes. Now look, every baby's different. Some babies are going to be ornery and they need fed every second and it's, you know, that's your life, okay? But I'm just saying as a general rule, whenever you're doing these, you know, abnormal things to try and stop it from feeding, it will cause it to get irritated. Look, it's a person. It has normal emotions. It feels pain. It feels joy. It feels comfort. It likes all these things. And it's supposed to be a place of comfort. It's supposed to be a place of rest. It's supposed to be a place of intimacy with his mother. And whenever you're trying to make that uncomfortable under the baby, they're not going to want to do it as much. And they're not going to get the hind milk as much. And in fact, the hind milk delivers many nutrients that you don't get from the fore milk. It's also a lot fattier, so it satisfies the baby longer. They're going to be fattier as a baby, which who doesn't like a chunky baby, you know? All right? Pinch those cheeks, okay? And this is not directly related, but I do believe it's related. There's a condition known as mastitis. Now, mastitis is when a woman ends up not delivering all the milk that she has and it gets left over for a long period of time. It can harden and it can become very hard, like it hurts. It's like a clogged duct, okay? And that doesn't sound fun. I don't know what that's like exactly, but it's very painful. It can hurt. And if you look up online, it says that some of the causes of mastitis or a clogged duct is a recent change in feeding pattern, a poor latch, not fully draining, irregular breastfeeding schedule, short or skipped breastfeeding sessions, pressure on the breast during an uncomfortable nursing position. So I want our church to be a safe haven for women to be in a comfortable position. That's why I have rockers everywhere, to feed wherever they want, and not force them to be in a weird, you know, uncomfortable position or something like that. Now look, you do whatever you want. I'm not going to come tell you how to rule your own house. That's for your husband to decide. That's for you guys to decide what you want to do and where you want to be. I'm just telling you, you know, from my experience, women that do these type of things, they end up having these problems. Yeah. And then you know what happens? The lamb method doesn't end up working. And then when the lamb method doesn't end up working, you know what they do? It's just baby every year. Baby every year, baby every year, baby every year. And look, if God blesses you with babies, hey, I'm excited. I'm never going to think that it's a bad thing that you had a baby. Okay, babies are a blessing. I'm just trying to help you say, I don't want you to be partial in God's commandments and then suffering the consequences of being partial. God says that breastfeeding is a blessing. And if it wasn't for this garbage modern day birth control, our society wouldn't think that breastfeeding's weird. Yeah. Look, breastfeeding's not weird. It's a blessing. It's of God. God wants it. He you know, Jesus Christ was breastfed, my friend. Yeah. Even the sea monster draws out the breast. Yeah. What do you want the Bible to say? And look, I get passionate about it because we have lots of families. We have lots of people here, lots of women that are getting pregnant, and I don't want them to suffer. And when I see women going through all these things, I'm thinking like, it looks like you're suffering a lot when you didn't have to. You could make it a lot easier on yourself. Now go to Psalms 127. I don't have time to get all my notes. That was, you know, the main crux of the sermon anyways. But look, whenever you're doing family planning, don't pick and choose the verses you like in the Bible. Do it all. Be fruitful and multiply. Don't practice the own end method. Don't murder your babies. And you know what? Whenever your baby comes out, breastfeed it. Breastfeed it exclusively And wherever it's at, and here, let me say this also, you should sleep with the baby in the bed. The baby needs to be right there with the mama, feeding constantly, or the lamb method will not work. I'm just helping you out understand how the lamb method works. Now, obviously, if you're two drunk harlots, you might roll over your baby. Some people get worried about that. But let me help you out. You're not going to roll over your baby and kill it, okay? I mean, if I just barely touch my baby, I like jump out of the bed, you know. Look, you're conscious of it. You're not going to hurt your baby. You know, it's not going to be a problem, and it's a blessing unto you. That's how you practice these methods. That's how it works. If you don't do it, though, if you're partial in the lamb method, it won't work. And then what's going to happen? Well, you're going to run into these weird problems, other health issues. You're going to be mentally stressed. I mean, I don't want my wife to be on that hormonal level for the rest of our marriage. I like it to, you know, go back and regulate itself, all right? Psalms 127, look at verse 1. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is but for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. For so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed. They shall speak with enemies in the gates. The Bible says if you have lots of children, you're going to be very happy. And I want you guys to be happy, all right? So I'm trying to help you be happy. And whenever you're partial in God's commandments, you're going to be less happy. You're the happiest when you're following all of God's commandments to the best of your ability. Look at chapter 28, verse 1. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways, for thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. Notice he wraps having lots of kids with what? Fearing God. You ought to just fear God today. Don't fear, oh, it's going to be expensive. Oh, it's not going to be fun. Well, look, just count the cost and realize having a family, your life's going to be different. You're not going to go on all the fancy vacations and have all this extra money and go out to eat to every place that you want to go out to eat and have the double income and have all the luxuries that all this world has. But you know what? I'm happy because I have lots of kids. They're not happy. That vacation ended. That meal, they didn't get to eat it again. And if they do, you don't want to eat. You don't want to eat meals again, all right? I'm not a cow. You know what? Having lots of kids, it's a blessing that'll last most likely your whole life. Kids usually outlive the parents. Hopefully, God willing. And if you have lots of them, you have a lot of good odds, you know? I mean, even Job, even though he lost 10, he got 10 more, you know? And then he got to see grandchildren, grandchildren, grandchildren. Look, you're going to be happy when you invest in family. You're going to be happy when you invest in children. Every old person I've ever talked to, they say, I wish I had more. All of them. Because it's great. And your lifestyle is going to be different. Go through with Isaiah 66. I think that's the last place I want to have you turn. Isaiah 66. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 5, I will therefore the younger woman marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. Pastor Shelley, you said Genesis is for us. Yeah, it is. So is 1 Timothy 5. It says that women should marry and bear children. Now look, let's say you can't bear children. I don't think that's just because God's mad at you. But you ought not do anything to prevent yourself from having children. There's godly people in the Bible that never had children, you know, for a really long time. Elizabeth and Zacharias, before they had John the Baptist, the Bible says that they were very godly. They're keeping all of God's commandments, blameless. I mean, these are some great godly people. They didn't have children for a long time. And then they had a miracle baby, John the Baptist. That one worked out. You know, he turned out to be pretty good. But at the end of the day, a woman that realizes what this commandment says, her life's going to be different. She's going to be at home. She's going to be with children. She's going to have to take care of them. Realize the cost there, but I want to help you understand that it's a blessing. It's a blessing to have many kids. It's a blessing to stay with them. And whenever you get older, you're going to say, man, I wish I had more. And the woman that didn't have that many, she's going to say, I wish I had more. And the woman that had lots, she's going to say, I wish I had more. Look, I'm just trying to help you realize. You're like, why didn't I just do what Pastor Shelley said? Look, it's the Bible. It's not my opinion. Okay? Isaiah 66, look at verse 9. Shall I bring to the birth and not cause to bring forth, saith the Lord? Shall I cause to bring forth and shut the womb, saith thy God? Rejoice ye with Jerusalem and be glad with her. All ye that love her, rejoice for joy with her, all ye that mourn for her, that ye may suck and be satisfied with the breasts of her consolations, that ye may milk out. I want a bunch of babies to just milk out today, you know? Says in verse 12, for thus saith the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream, that ye shall suck, ye shall be borne upon her sides, and be dandled upon her knees. This should be the life of women today. They should give their children suck. And it says born there, it's just saying, look, how many times you see a woman, she's got her baby just right there on the hip. That's what it's saying, born upon the side. Where's that baby? In mama's arms. Getting all the food, nourishment, love, attention, affection. And then whenever she's sitting down, he's on the knees. Baby's with mama. I like it. I want to see more mamas with their babies. You know, some women, they just lay their children down all the time, and then they get a flat head on the back of their head. Because, you know, your baby's head is very impressionable. If you ever see someone that had a flat head, like just like it's like looks like it's just straight flat. It's a curse. Their mom didn't hold them. Actually, I'll tell you what happened. They dropped them off at Don't Care. And they have one teenage girl that's just watching 13 babies. Well, you know what happens? They just all lay them on the mat. And they all get a flat back head because nobody loved them. Look, that ought not be our church, okay? We ought not be the flat back head church, all right? I want some round heads, okay? You say, why are you saying that? You're mean. Look, I'm just trying to tell you what the Bible says. And I don't have time for my last point, but you know what? You need to discipline your children too. And that's real important. Because if you're going to have lots of kids, you know what? If you don't discipline them, if you're sparing the rod, your life is going to be rough. Because the modern birth control parenting today, you know what they do? They have one kid or two, and they can barely survive with that one or two kids. Yep. But you know what? If you keep that same parenting model with 10, you're in trouble. Yeah. You have to use the rod to keep them in line. And you know what? They end up being blessings. And in fact, the people in our church or in other like churches that usually have the most kids, I usually find that their kids are usually the most well-behaved. The ones that are usually the worst behaved have like one or maybe two. And you're just thinking, that kid needs to be taken in there a couple more times. He needs the rod of correction. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Look, big families, they don't have time for nonsense. You mess up, spanking, you know. You mess up, we're going to deliver the rod. And you need to. Because if you don't, it's going to be rough. Don't be partial in God's commandments. Follow all of God's commandments. Decide, hey, where's my family plan? It's right here. Don't get a book. Don't get what to expect when expecting. Get this. Get God's commandments and follow all of them to a T. This will increase happiness in your life. Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Father, so much for giving us so much instruction and blessing us with children. I pray that you would just continue to bless all the women in this room with children, that you would bless the marriages in this room, that you would help give us instruction from thy word, that we would take heed to all of thy commandments, that we wouldn't be partial in our observance of your commandments. And I pray that we just raise a godly generation that loves the Lord, that's going to serve the Lord, that we would invest into our children, and we would greatly appreciate the gifts that you give us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen.